take the word of the Lord. Turn to John 5. John 5. And this evening, continuing with where we left off last Lord's Day evening, chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. John 5, verses 18 through 24. And before we read God's word and hear the word preached, let's pray and ask for his blessing to be upon us. Our Father, we do come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, very God of very God. And as you speak your word to us this evening, and as we hear it expounded, we ask that you would work in our hearts and our minds, even in our bodies and our wills and affections, that you would change and mold us. First, that you would cause us to believe, but then you would change and mold us into the image of your Son, that we would be holy and as you are holy, that we would believe with all faith, that we would follow with all strength given by your Spirit. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so John 5, starting in verse 18, this is the very word of the living God. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, that is Jesus, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And that is God's word to us this evening. You may begin to wonder why we started with verse 18 when we left off with verse 18 last week. And it's because verse 19, it starts out with the word therefore. And the only way to know, a good way to remember this is the only way to know what the word therefore is there for is to look first at the previous verse or the previous verses that precede it. And as we investigate, we will uncover our first point that we are looking at this evening, and that is Jesus' identity. Jesus' identity. And so verse 18, after Jesus said his Father is working and he himself is working, it says, "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore," we heard last week that Jesus wasn't actually breaking the Sabbath. He was only breaking it by the Jews' own standards and rules, which are not God's. One of his arguments for why he was not breaking the Sabbath was that he takes all his cues from the Father. He does what his Father commands of him. And he obeys his Father. He doesn't judge his life by someone else's books. He judges his life by his Father's rules and commandments and ordinances and statutes. And there are times when people in the church have come up with these types of rules that the Jews have come up with and their own regulations so that they can better keep God's commandments. And here the Jews said, absolutely no pallet carrying on the Sabbath. Ever. Never. And Jesus said, I don't take my cues from you. And that's not in my Father's word. No burden bearing. Now that's in my Father's word. And this was not a burden. Now usually maybe it was a burden to carry a pallet on the Sabbath, but in this case it was not a burden. This was a healing that relieved a burden from this paralyzed man. And in Isaiah 58, God has shown us, my Father has shown that that's exactly what the Sabbath is for, to relieve and to heal, to relieve burdens, to cause men and women to delight in the Sabbath. And my Father says, no work. But healing for Jesus is not a work. Healing is exactly what creates delight in the Lord and on the Sabbath. But it's not a work because it creates no burden upon Jesus. And now we think of work and that's automatically, usually, a burden for us. But for Jesus, it's not, because He's Almighty God and it takes absolutely no effort for Him. And at the same time that He's working, as He says He's working, it is a working to heal. And so relieving a burden. There are those who read verse 18 and they will say, look at how the Pharisees missed it. And there are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and Unitarians that we mentioned last week. There are so many who want the New Testament but don't want the divinity of Jesus Christ. And you cannot have the New Testament without the Jesus' divinity. Jesus was there. And the Pharisees were there and they didn't just hear Him. And they saw how He said it, and they said, this man is making himself equal with God. And verse 19 then says, therefore. How did Jesus respond to them, saying that He was equal with God? That's an intolerant claim, our culture today would say. Jesus is saying that He's equal with God, it's intolerant. If you want to be known as tolerant and humble, as our world would define that, and desires of you, then when we get to verse 23, you're not going to get through that. You can choose between Christianity and being the world's definition of tolerant and humble. And their accusation is that what Jesus was saying in verse 17 was blasphemy. And so Jesus said to them, upon their accusation of His blasphemy, that He's committing blasphemy, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. And so far, he's just repeating what He said before. Now here's the therefore. You think it's blasphemy. The Jews, you think it's blasphemy. I'm going to make clear as possible that I am the living God. So that you will have to choose. You have to choose between two choices. Now, there's no middle ground. And this is what Jesus is doing in what He says. I'll give you two choices. I'm going to make it so plain that you have to believe that I am, that I'm not just a blasphemer, but I am the greatest blasphemer that you've ever heard. And ever can hear, or I am the living God. And so that you cannot have Jesus as a really moral guy, a good teacher who gives us good things to follow, if He's not the living God. Because if He's not the living God, then what He says here is the most blasphemous thing that has ever come out of a man's mouth. He's not moral if He's not God. He's either God and He's moral, or He's not and He's wicked. The Mormons would be right if Jesus wasn't God. This would make Him Satan's spirit brother. That's what the Mormons believe. If He's not God. You cannot have Jesus as moral if Jesus is not God. Moral people do not say, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. And moral people do not say, Amen, Amen, truly, truly, I swear on the existence of truth itself that I do everything God does in the way God does it. If such a blasphemy ever came out of your child's mouth, you might, and hopefully you would fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord that He would not destroy them even before you began to discipline them. And that's one of the many differences between us and Muslims. Muslims have to take vengeance for their God, on behalf of their God, at least those who adhere to the Quran completely. Because that's all the vengeance that Muhammad and Allah will ever get. The believer does not need to take vengeance for the Lord Jesus. For whatever vengeance we took on His behalf would not be close to what is deserved. And will not touch what will come. Here's a great blasphemy. If He is not the living God, when He says, I do everything God does and the way God does it, in fact, God doesn't do anything except through me. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all the things that He Himself is doing. And so there is this eternal relationship. Before there is anything, before time, before creation, there's this eternal relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and the Father loves the Son. And so He refuses to do anything except through His Son. So that if there's any honor or any worship that is to come before God the Father will say, My Son did that. He refuses to do anything except through His Son. I didn't do creation. The Father would say, except through Him, Jesus. Through Him, everything was made, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Father's never done anything in the world except through His Son. It's His Son who upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1:3. Because the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He is doing. And so the Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemy. And they say, you're making yourself equal with the Father. And Jesus says, My Father's plan for everything was to show that I am equal with Him. My Father doesn't do anything except through me. And He just finished saying, I don't do anything that I don't first hear from my Father. And now He's saying, My Father doesn't do anything except through me. You think it's blasphemous for me to say, I only do whatever I see my Father doing, try this one out, He's saying. My Father only does what He does through me. How's that, Jews, for blasphemy? Everything that Jesus is, the Father is. And there's no good analogy for the Trinity, for the relationship between the Father and the Son. You've heard of some analogies probably before, and yet probably every analogy you'll hear is blasphemy, it's heresy. I've heard of many. Here's one I have heard of, the water analogy. It can be water, H2O. It can be water, it can be ice or vapor. So three different things, but they're all the same, it's H2O. And that's an analogy of the early church heresy called modalism. Sounds good at the if you first think about it, but it's modalism. That's God can take many forms. There is no water molecule which is at the same time, liquid, vapor, and ice. Not possible. God is at the same time always the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not sometimes the Father and sometimes the Son or sometimes the Spirit. Or partly the Father and partly the Son and partly the Spirit at the same time. They are different. The Father loves the Son. The Father sent the Son. The Father and the Son have sent the Spirit. But they're the same. Who can utter the mighty acts of God, or who can utter His praise? And so Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. I should remind you of verse 14, because how did all this start? Jesus was coming down to Jerusalem. He's coming down to another festival, and there's a pool in the city. And there was a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. You couldn't get into the pool when it was stirred by the angel. And Jesus heals the man, and the man is ignorant and doesn't realize that this healing was all about Jesus and not about himself. He doesn't even know Jesus when he's questioned by the Jews. But Jesus finds him anyway in verse 14 and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." And what's worse than being paralyzed for 38 years? What's worse? Hell forever. And now Jesus is going the other way with what he's saying. At the end of verse 20, the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. And the question is, what is greater? Verse 14, the question is, what is worse? Now it is, what is greater than healing a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years? Well, the answer is in our passage. Physical resurrection is better. Verse 21. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes." And he's going to talk about the resurrection more in the coming verses next week, Lord willing. But it's also not only physical resurrection that is greater, but spiritual resurrection. Verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." That's present tense. Has passed. It's now. Who's passed out of death into life. Already from death to life has passed. So Jesus' identity is that he is the living God, who is the Son, who's the eternal object of his Father's love and the Father's design for everything, but especially to take dead sinners and make them alive with a life that they will never lose unto the glory of the Son. And that's what everything is about for the Father. Why did God create? To glorify the Son. Why did God ordain the fall? To glorify the Son as lawgiver and judge. And why does God save? To glorify His Son. For God so loved the Son that He has given Him the glory of saving everyone who believes in Him, that they will not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the Son is the story of everything. And that is Jesus' identity. Second, Jesus' authority. Jesus' authority, verse 21. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes." How does that work with verse 19? The Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes." In fact, verse 22, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son." And so Jesus says, "I don't decide what to do, my Father does." And the Father says, "I've actually chosen not to decide what to do, but to give it all to my Son." What a mind twister. Does the Father lose His authority when He gives it all to the Son? No. He gave it, and yet, as you can see from Jesus, the Father has still complete authority. Jesus has complete authority as well because He does all that the Father, His Father, desires. Jesus gives life to whom He wills, to whom He wills, because it's Jesus' will to give them life. It's also at the same time the Father's will. And so the mechanism of the willing to give the life comes through Jesus in a way in which the Father says, "I want my Son to have the first place in this." And He can do so with absolute confidence in His Son because He knows the Son wants to give life precisely to those that the Father chooses. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Why? Because they're the sheep. And He chooses to lay His life down for them. There are sheep, and there are goats. And Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And Jesus is the bridegroom. The church With all her warts and defects and flaws and sin and weakness, here's the bride. And we might question, what God in His right mind would want to do so much on earth through the church? Have you seen the church? It's wicked and heinous and sinful and it's not pretty. But He loves His wife. He loves Zion. He wants her to shine. He sets her as a city on a hill. He's made her salt in a world of blandness and corruption and decay. And His design is for her to radiate with glory. The church. And she misses out when she doesn't do all that is according to His will. And the Father's will. Jesus, though, never misses out. He does everything according to the pleasure and the will of His Father. His Father is delighted for His Son to receive all glory. And so He gives it to the Son. This means something very important for you. Verse 22. Not even the Father judges anyone, but He Himself, He has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And so the Father has given all judgment to the Son. That's a huge statement. There is a small truth in there that is very important for you. That the Father has given your judgment. He's given your judgment to the Son. The Father has so loved His Son that every single one of you will stand before Jesus Christ, and whatever Jesus says about you will be the last word forever. And you will either be recognized by Him as one who honored Him as very God, or you will go to hell. And the Father has given your judgment to the Son so that you would honor the Son just as you honor the Father. If you honor Jesus as anything less than you honor the Son, as you honor the Father, you are condemned. You don't pass from death into life. You pass from death to death. You go directly from the first death to the second death. You go from being spiritually dead and not recognizing Jesus as God to enduring the flame that does not cease and the worm that does not die and the destruction coming forth from the presence of God forever. And this gives theological problems to those who do not love the Son the way the Father loves the Son. And they'll say, what about, and you stick your Jesus is less than false religion in the blank. What about the Jews? The first people who He ever said this to were good Jews. They were the Pharisees, the people who love the law. There was no one who expended, so they thought, more effort to honor the Father. There was no one who expended more effort to honor the Father than the people that were standing before Jesus and Jesus is saying this to. And He's saying, you're going to hell. You do not honor My Father at all. With all of your figuring out how to make a grid through which you can keep the law, to keep the Sabbath, with all your carefulness about how you speak of God so that you never say something so blasphemous as, He is My Father. For that would mean that you are equal with Him. With all your effort that you're expending, you do not honor Me. And you do not honor Him, therefore, at all. What about good Mormons and good Jehovah's Witnesses and good Jews and good Muslims and good Roman Catholics who do the same thing as the Jews here, are trying to keep the law good enough, trying to do good works good enough that they might enter in? And Jesus says there's no such thing. And if you think there's goodness in you that comes from you, instead of goodness that only comes from Jesus Christ, you're not good either. So that all this honor, that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. And from there, speaking of Jesus' authority, Jesus transitions into His mission. So that's the final point, Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission. Verse 24. Amen. Amen. Truly, truly. I swear to the existence on truth itself, He's saying. He who hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So Jesus uses His authority to give life. He who hears My word, he who believes what I say about that I am the living God, that there is nothing that is true about My Father, that isn't true about Me. There's no ungodlikeness in me. There's no ungodliness in me. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me. And what's he speaking of? He's speaking of his works. And if you don't believe because of my word, at least believe because of my works. My Father showed me these works. The works that my Father is choosing to do through me are a message that I am your God. I am your creator. I am your judge. I am here to save the world. There's going to be a world full of people who stand before the judgment, before Jesus, and the message then is the same. It will be the same. I am God. I am creator. I'm your judge. I'm here to damn you. But that isn't the message the first time. That's the message the last time if they don't believe and repent. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so here he is. He's telling them these things so that they would be saved through him. You have to hear Jesus saying that. Not just a lesson from man, me. Jesus sent. I am a weak, sinful man who stands before you this evening. And Jesus has sent me to you so that you would hear him and see his works that he did and receive those works because of what Jesus said as a message from the Father. This is my Son. He is your creator. He is your judge. And he came to save you. And whoever hears Jesus say that in John 5, and whoever believes the Father's testimony that he sent him, the Father sent Jesus for that reason, already has eternal life. It's present tense. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Everyone who believes that about Jesus receives at the moment that he believes a life that will never be interrupted, that will never stop. It's not just a life of one age or one more age. This is a life that spans the ages. When your body stops working and it gives up your spirit, your soul, your spirit, it flies to Jesus. And that the life which you receive in Jesus does not stop. When the clouds open and the Son of Man appears and the trumpet sounds and the unbelievers cry for the mountains to fall upon them, and they stand before the judgment, there is a new creation that is new in the same way that our new glorified imperishable bodies are new. And Jesus' mission is to give life that isn't just for one age. It isn't like the people who say, I don't know if they actually believe it, but they say that cats have 9 lives. And Jesus doesn't just give you one life more. He gives you life now. That spans the ages, unending. As ages continue, you continue in living. You are continually alive. That's what eternal means. Ages. No weakness or illness, disease. Nothing can touch eternal life because it spans the ages. If you hear Jesus' word and believe his Father who sent him, you get life that never stops because you've passed from death. Isn't that what he says here? But has passed out of death into life. That spiritual death you started out with, you will never have again. The death you deserve due to you for your sin. Jesus already has died for you. That death for you. There's no death for the believer ever. You pass from death. Oliver, my son, obviously when we were gone somewhere in which he enjoys what we were doing, he'll usually ask as we're leaving something like, he's gone to, he does this for worship and prayer meeting, but I don't want to use those examples. But he'll go for a train ride. We've done that before, a baseball game, and he'll ask, ride the train tomorrow? We go to ride the train next week? Something like that, because he wants to go again. And then I always have to say, no, we're not doing that. We have to move on now. And that's death. We are done with death, never to die again. That separation of body and soul that's coming for you when you leave this age, that just makes you perfect. That's not actual death. You're actually becoming alive through that. That's just the getting rid of pain. That's the getting rid of the disease. You're done with that death if you believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus is doing with these men. He was showing them what He has come to do. Paralysis is so this age. And there are many more paralysis in His, and hip replacements, tendons and bones to be healed, cancer to be killed with chemo. None of that anymore. That's this age. And Jesus' identity. He is the living God, and His Father never does anything except through Jesus. Jesus' authority. He's the judge over all things. He makes all the decisions. He's the one who decided what happens on the Sabbath because He decided based in what His Father wants. And so if you see Jesus here breaks the Sabbath, or you say Jesus is wrong about the Sabbath, you're saying God is wrong about the Sabbath. And so now who is the blasphemer? If you say that, God's wrong about the Sabbath. And then Jesus' mission, that you not be the fool who came here and has now in your hand the price with which you may buy wisdom, treasure which you can go buy all pleasure and wisdom and salvation. That you would hear His words and that you'd believe the Father who sent Him and you'd have life that never ends. This life that He provides for you or offers to you that stands through the ages. Hear His words and believe on Him, the Father who sent Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully God. Fully man, truly God, truly man. Thank You that He doesn't break the Sabbath here and that He is keeping the Sabbath perfectly, healing without being a burden upon Him or this man. And Father, He is a God. He is equal with the Father. And the Father works through Him. And He's doing all that the Father wants Him to do. And Jesus is doing all that He wants to do, which is what the Father wants to do. He is God. And He has the authority of God to judge even on the last day. And Lord, may it be that when we go before that judgment, and here He says all judgment has been given to the Son. Lord, when we go before that judgment seat, we will see Jesus Christ. And He'll speak His last word concerning us. And Lord, we pray that all here it would be that You are righteous, You are mine, You are the redeemed, You are my church, my bride. Won't You join me? And my Father and the Spirit. Father, we ask that that would be true of us. That You would bring us into Your very presence for all of eternity. That our life would span the ages and that one moment we would not experience death. Our bodies now, our bodies which are decaying, will. But we ask that You would not cause us to experience it. But that You would bring us immediately to Your presence. That You would put off all that disease and pain and the sorrows and the tears forever. That we would not have to experience it anymore. We pray that none here would experience the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, save them as You purposed for coming into the world. We pray that this Your word would be heard and believed. Father, we do submit to You. And we do submit to Your Son. Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us to honor You, just as we honor the Son. We do now pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.